الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-kareema, and very similar ayat with some things mentioned in front and some at the back, has come about 4 times in the Quran Sharif. And in it, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned very, very important things. And if we pay attention to them, inshallah, we will benefit also accordingly. At the end of the ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And they were before that, before this 3 work which Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, they were in open misguidance. They were completely misguided. They had no idea what life is, what we should be doing, etc. So from that complete chaotic state, Allah says that Allah brought them to the height of success. So if we will do these 3 works, we will also reach the height of success. And as that time, in before Islam, people, the condition of life was really, really terrible. And today, it's the same condition again, but only in a smart way, just with a smart covering. Like you give somebody some stool, number 2, and you give it to him open, who would like it? And when you give him the same stool, but you put it in a gift bag, you wrap it up. So now it looks nice from the outside, but in the inside it's still the same thing. So like that, the conditions of the world were like that also. But that time it wasn't with the gift wrap. It was just open. And now the same worst conditions are existing, but the gift wrap is over it. The lives of the people of the world, generally non-Muslims, like presently the fires in America, all the worst things from Hollywood was exported in the world. All the worst type of life. So that was there. So in order to come out from what they have reached now, these fires, etc., we must take a lesson and we must do what we are supposed to do. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, Allah blessed him, like all our Akabir, with such great knowledge. He explained that according to even language, Arabic language also, that there is a certain type of superior use of the language, higher, what we call balaghat, that where person becomes very advanced as far as the usage of language is concerned. So he gave one example of that is, like sometimes if we are sitting and eating and you want the water or you want the juice or something, you pass me the jug. So it's not the jug you want the contents of the jug. But you take the name of the container, but it's not the container you want the contents. So just like, for example, also, you say my nose is running, or somebody's nose is running. The nose is not running, but the nose is on its place. But what is inside is running. So like that, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, khayrul qurun, the best of times. So he did not mean the time. He meant the work that took place in that time. That is what he meant. Khairul Quran, Qarni, my is my era. The best of times since Allah created the heavens and the earth, everything until Qiyamah, the best of time is that time. Qarni, the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the highest, the greatest. And that was the time of the Khulafai Rashidin. And Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali, other ulama have written that this Qarni, in the translation is my time. But if you can see which is the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so they have said that this was the time of Siddiq, of Hazrat Abu Bakr. And the last letter in Siddiq is Qaf. So that is the Qaf of Qarni. And Umar, the last letter is Ra. And the last letter in the name of Umar, Ra. So Qaf, Ra, Qarn. And the last letter in the name of Uthman radiallahu anhu is Noor. And the last letter in the name of Hazrat Ali is Ya. So Qaf, Ra, Noon, Ya, Qarni. That was the best time. That was the time of these great people, the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Summa alladhina yalunahu, then the time of the Tabi'in, Tabi'un. Summa alladhina yalunahu, walladhina yalunahu, and the Tabi'in, Tabi'in. That was the best time. This is a period of about 250 years, this period. About 100 years was the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. About another 70 years the Tabi Tabi'in, and then about another 70 years, 80, and another 70 years the time of the Tabi Tabi'in, about 250 years. This was the best time. Now in this best time, what was the work that is actually being mentioned? The time, according to Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayh, it's not the time, but the work that was carrying on in the time. So the work that was carrying on, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah sent the Rasul to them from among them. What work, so we can even phrase it in this way, that Allah made the syllabus of Nabuwat. And the syllabus of Nabuwat was three things. First thing, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, to recite the ayats of the Quran. Second, yuallimuhumul kitab wal hikmah, to teach the Quran and hikmah, the hadith. And third, wa yuzakkihim, to make tazkiyah nafs. These three things. So that was the work that was carrying on in that time. So Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi said, whenever, whichever time these three things carrying on, that will be, they will be counted of khayrul qurun. Whichever person will do these three things, he will be counted from khayrul qurun. So whichever time, whichever person, whichever place these three work carry on, that will be all connected with khayrul qurun. So we have the opportunity that we also be connected with. And we are doing part of it, let us do it full. So we can be included in Khairul Qurun, in that we can get that great reward. So the first is Yatlu, in all the ayats, Yatlu Alim Ayatihi comes first. The tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Ulama have given two main explanations of what is tilawat of Quran. One is where the maktab Taaleem takes place. That is where Quran Sharif is taught. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them to read the Quran Sharif. And just the mere reading of the Quran Sharif is a very, very, very great thing. To be able to read the Quran Sharif. And a person can only read if he learned. And in commonly in our circles, when will you learn? When you go to Maktab. That is when you learn. And usually also, the small children don't become conscious. Later in life, then they start rereading. So what we taught them here, they will be able to read there now, afterwards, later. So that is one. Other ulama have said it refers to the Dawat of Deen. To read the ayats of the Quran and to invite people towards Deen. The work of Dawat. That to invite people towards Deen. And we have to invite them to Quran Sharif. So we read the Quran Sharif and we invite them. Like for example, a person invites to Allah Ta'ala. And then who is Allah? Which is the Allah that we are calling? Allah is not just a word. Allah is a real, great, great, great reality. So for example, you use the Quran Sharif. Now, who tells somebody, pull, say to them, who Allah? He is Allah. Allah is everything. And then Ahad. Now, Ahad takes out so many other things which so many majority of the people of the world, what they are joining to Allah, all that goes out now. Partners to Allah Ta'ala. The how many people make partners with Allah? The Hindus, they worship their idols. Christians, they've got Trinity. That's all idols. And whatever else a person is worshipping besides Allah, he's worshipping Allah also, and he's worshipping some other thing. In that, we also must see ourselves. Sometimes we worship our ego, our pride, that I can't be down, my ego. So I must keep my name up. Even if I made a mistake, I can't accept I made a mistake. Or our lust and our desire. I know this is the lust, woman, haram, to associate with this woman, to look at that woman, all haram things. But I give preference to my own lust. So that we made that our God. Though it's not the actual shirk, but we made that also our God. So, Ahad, Allah is that one being that all these other things are taken out. So we see that the vast majority of the people are taken out from here because they worshipping things openly besides Allah Ta'ala. And we must be careful for ourselves also. Our Tawheed must be also perfect and complete. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Allah Ta'ala is independent. Alladhi la yahtaj ila ayya ahad. Who is not in need of anything of anyone. Wa yahtaju ilayhi kullu ahad. And everyone, everything is fully dependent on Allah. Nothing can do anything without Allah Ta'ala. As we are sitting now, I'm talking, I can't talk without the will of Allah. And what is the will of Allah in me? It's my ruh, my soul. If my ruh goes out, I'm dead now. My tongue is still there. I'm making movements with my hands. My hands are there, but they won't be able to do anything. I won't be able to do anything for myself. Now I will be dependent on others, that they take off my clothes, give my ghusl, go make my janazah namaz. Pardon me, I can't do nothing for myself now. Even a person who is to be very independent in his life and doesn't want to take help from anyone, he wants to do everything for himself, but that time he can do nothing for himself. And Allah is the only one who does everything. Nobody can do anything. You can't make a signature without the will of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah, Allah. So that is of that Allah. Allahu Samad. And Lam Yalid Walam Yulad. He was not born. He doesn't give birth and he was not born. He is there. That is Allah. Sometimes the question may come to our mind also, or people ask us also, that when Allah created everything, who created Allah? Allah, then Allah is that being that cannot be created. He is the one who creates. He is that being that has since ever and forever. That is Allah. Anyone who creates, who is created, is not Allah. So Allah is not created. Allah has been there since ever and He is there forever. So He is not created. If you think that who created this from here, who created that, then where do you end? The end is He who was not born and He doesn't give birth to anyone. He is different. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. That is creator. He has got no mumathil, nothing and nobody that is like him. He is completely different. And when he is completely different, he can't have a mother or a father. Because if you have a goat, there are many other goats, they are similar. A cow, many other cows, they are similar. But Allah is completely different from his entire creation. So that is also proof that he is not created by anyone. He is, that is Allah, who is not created. That is Allah. So the question doesn't arise that who created Allah, because there can't be a question like that, because He is since ever, that ever, that there is no beginning to it. And He is forever, that forever, where there is no end to it. Everything again, Allah will destroy at one time. Kullu shayin halikun illa wajha. On everything Allah will destroy. Allah was alone, there was nothing. He created everything. And again, He will destroy everything again. And He will create it again. So that is Allah Ta'ala. That is that being. So this is the da'wah we have to give to everyone. So we do, and what the best is, we engage in the work of da'wah also. We invite people. And we teach the Quran Sharif. We do the ta'aleem of Quran. And so that tilawat of Quran can be done. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Then the second thing is, some places it is Yuzakim, some places it is Yu'allimuhumul Kitab. Normally, Yu'allimuhumul Kitab wal Hikmah, which is the Darul Ulum, where we learn the deen in detail, where all the whole Quran Sharif, we learned how to read it now, became a Hafiz also, and now we have learned the Quran Sharif, the meaning of it, the tafsir of it, and from there comes fiqh, the basail which have been taken out. And from there comes out all the other branches of deen. The very root source is the Quran Sharif. And then the third thing which is very important also, which unfortunately many of us, we just like turn a blind eye, like it does not exist. Yuzakkeen, tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means to purify, to cleanse. So what is to be cleansed here? Our soul, our nafs. We have to cleanse that. And that also, just like clothes become dirty, the heart, the spiritual heart also, even our physical heart. We have too much of sugar and you have build up, then you have your arteries being blocked, etc. All those things happen. That also needs a cleanup. You go to a hospital, they do a angioplasty, they blow it up, take out all the things, or they put a stent, or they do a bypass, or whatever it is. Everything needs to be, our brains need to, physical brains need to be cleaned also. All the wrong things that go in the brain, then you can't think properly, your brains don't function properly. So ever so much more than all this, what's controlling all this, our ruh must also be cleansed. When we don't, it starts getting dirty. With all our thoughts, what we look at, what we speak, what we hear, what we do, all this has an influence. And when our ruh becomes dirty, then we won't want to come for namaz. Our hearts won't want to read Quran Sharif. And when it's dirty, it will now, dirt will appeal to it, to look at other women, to have relations with other women, to do all the haram and the wrong things that it will want to do. So this tazkiyah and nafs is the most important. It's mentioned at the end, it is the height of it. Like for example, you have a child, he learns to, first he's just playing around in the house. Perhaps they got a takhti on the fridge and they show him, yeah, this what, and they teach him little bit the alphabet or something. Then he goes to maktab, he learns now properly everything. He learns the qaidas also, yasarna al-Quran, whichever. Then he reads Quran, then he becomes hafiz, so he moves. And then finally, we say that he becomes an alim, though this is not the final stage. But normally we say, now he became a mufti also. Now he did the khassus in this also. He reached the end. So the end really is tazkiyah in nafs. That is the real end. When a person has learned all this, and any and all types of knowledge that a person acquires, it brings like a sense of pride in a person. Dunya's knowledge also, and even deen's knowledge. A person who becomes like an alim also, he feels I'm an alim now. And if he's talking with somebody, he says, who are you to tell me? I'm an alim, you don't know, you're a jahil. you don't know. So the sense of pride comes into a person. And this pride will destroy a person completely. And nobody will be able to enter Jannah even if he's got one iota, one little bit of pride. He will have to first go to Jahannam to burn it out. Then he'll be able to enter. So if we remove it from before, then we will be able to enter. So easily it comes in a person without him knowing, according to hadith, that whatever he does it for name and fame. He wants to be popular. He wants to be praised. He wants people to acknowledge his work. And in the Western world, they actually groom, and the whole thing is by acknowledging all the time. So everyone is waiting for it to be acknowledged. So a person who does that for that, Qiyamah Day, Allah said, will say, you didn't do it for me. You did it to be acknowledged. You did it to be praised. You wanted a big following on YouTube, Instagram, whatever. I got so many people following me. All that following you do. So that also, it's only by tazkiyah that will come out of a person. And if we don't do, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said clearly, that doing these things for name and fame comes in a person in such a secret way that he himself doesn't even know it has come in. So remember this dua, it's a short dua, and we must read this. The person who reads this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will save him from all types of doing things for name and fame, the little of it, the lot of it, the openness of it, the hidden of it. Everything Allah will save you. What is the dua? Allahumma, read with me. Allahumma, inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. You should learn this dua and read it twice a day, very good morning and evening. Otherwise, just once a day, it's a 2-second dua. But we will be saved of doing things for name and show. And otherwise, if whole year, a whole life, we became alims also. We taught in a maktab another 30, 40 years till our mort. But if we were doing it for name and fame, for show, then it is all gone for waste. But just by reading this dua, we will protect it. It won't be destroyed. So therefore, this tazkiyah is very necessary for us also and our students also. And where we are teaching our students Quran Sharif, everything, all the other subjects also, the most important thing is they must be practicing upon it. Normally, we are teaching it. We have imtihan exams also. They are tested. We have inspection also to test whether what is to be taught, is it taught? Are the children understanding? Are they memorizing? Are they knowing? Are they progressing? We call that. But are they practicing? That we are not watching. And that is the most important thing. If they are practicing. If a person cooks food, wonderful food, but then doesn't eat or anything, throws it away. Or you make money, you're running a shop, house shop you are running. And you make money also. But then somebody comes and robs you and takes away all your money. So even if all this we are learning and we are not practicing, then it's nothing. The main thing is to practice on it. And all the reward in the akhirat is not for those who know, it is for those who practice. In one place Allah Ta'ala says, فَنَعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. The great reward are for those who are amilin, not alimin. Just that one lam and ayn, if you put the one front and the one back, the whole thing changes. So the great reward is not for فَنَعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَالِمِينَ, for those who knew. No, the reward is for those who made amal. Another place Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, not يَعْلَمُونَ. The rewards of the akhirat are not for those people who knew. Today we feel a certain alim, very big alim, and automatically it comes in our mind, he's a big alim, he's a pious alim. But if he's not making amal, then even that ilm of his, if he's not making amal, that is also a burden for him. He will be punished for that. So the more knowledge we acquire and we're not making amal on it, that is also a problem. So amal is the thing. So our students also see that they are practicing their five times namaz, their character, their dressing, their hairstyle, their language, everything. Deen must come into them. So it's a very great opportunity Allah has given us. We can acquire great, great rewards from Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah is displeased with us, our dunya becomes easy for us. We don't have to really worry how much of our salary is, etc. And how much we are earning. We do our work more than what we're getting our salary, Allah will give us more. Rabia Basariya was a very great and pious woman. One time, Khadima, who should help her, serve her, she came and said, some visitors have come. So she said, feed the visitors. How many are there? Say, five of them. Then she came back again. She said, but in the kitchen, there's only one roti, one slice of bread. So she said, okay, go and give it sadaqah. Give it away. So after that, somebody came, knocked on the door, and said, my boss, he sent this food for Rabia Basariya. She opened it. She saw five rotis in there. She said, no, this is not for us. Go and give it back to them. After a little while, and there were five visitors. They knock on the door. Who is it? My boss sent her this food for Rabia Basariya. She opened it. Seven rotis, five visitors, and she and her sir, the worker. Seven. She said, no, this is not for us. Send it away. After a while, a knock on the door. Somebody, my boss, sent us, opened it, 10 rotis. Yeah, this is ours. Because Allah said, you give one, I will give you 10 in return. So if we have that in us, we will see how Allah will. And you don't have to go. Somebody will come and knock on your door and say, somebody has sent this for you. So when we will do this, deen come in our life, our students' life, then you will see we don't have to worry of our salary, whether it's on time or not on time. There's a mistake in the amount, they count less or something, nothing. You won't have to worry. Allah will give you much more. But the condition we bring deen in us, Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.